All right.
I think we're going to see a lot of breaking up of what might be called the education market. For example, I think we're going to see a lot more industry-specific training offered by companies that are involved in the industry or provider companies that are providing learning to the industry. We already see a lot of this. You know, for example, there's the it's the Oil Training Alliance or something like that for the oil industry. You know, the CGA has existed for ages. Even things like McDonald's University has been very quietly been doing its thing for a number of years. So with it being easier and easier to provide learning online, I think that we're seeing more and more learning providers. It's exactly the opposite of what Sebastian Thrun said when he said there would be 10 universities in the world. We're, you know, right now, there's a barrier to the expansion of education providers because of the need for institutions to be accredited. But I think that as we move toward outcome-based education, and we are moving in that direction, there's lots of signs towards that, then it becomes more and more possible for independent agencies to qualify for certification. And that increases the number of higher education institutions, increases the choice, basically.
So to come back at what Sebastian Trump said, do you think there will be less university in the future, or it's going to be highly fragmented and maybe like a PhD, like you could just start your own university and you could be recognized in a specific field, for example, like online education, and people that want to specialize in that would go to your university, or what do you think it's headed?
Yeah.
Like more university or less?
It's more. It's going to be highly fragmented, no question about that. I mean, we need to be a bit careful here with our terminology too, because, you know, we say, well, there will be more universities in the future. They might not necessarily be called universities, and the mechanism of going to your university, getting a degree, and then getting a job, that mechanism itself is very likely to change. You know, there's discussion. There's two parts of the discussion. First, whether a university-level education is important. And there's some discussion, but I think most people agree that it is, one way or another. But the second part of the discussion is whether a university degree, properly so-called, is important. And right now, it is. But I think that this is beginning to change. There was a company that has decided to not get information about where the degree came from because they were favoring elite institutions and they wanted to get away from that. And I think that over time, we'll see more in the way of, you know, can the person do the work as opposed to do they have the certificate?
Okay. I think it's a century-old debate about what's the role of universities to prepare them for accomplishing certain tasks, or is it to do research? And and now the dominant model is really the research university. I mean, university success or failure is determined on the the success of the researchers and not on the success of how many people graduate and how good the graduates are. So do you think what's the future of research in this equation? Because do you think it's going to still stick together and the best university will be the best research university, or you're going to have like elite teaching university, for example?
Yeah, if there is an elite teaching university, it's the Open University, I would say right now. And maybe in Canada, it might be Athabasca University. But, you know, I think research continues to be important.
But what is the Open University?
In Great Britain, in the United Kingdom. They're well known because they provide open access education to hundreds of thousands of people. They're based in Milton Keynes, Britain, and they offer, you know, they began by offering open distance learning courses to people in Britain, and now they do it for people around the world.
Okay.
And so their innovations in learning generally are well recognized around the world. So, I mean, it's funny because, you know, we read, you know, like the newspapers have their university ranking things, and they always rank very highly the universities that are very small and have small classes, you know, like St. FX or Mount Allison, etc., as though these are the paragons of teaching universities. But I think the opposite is the case. I think that teaching universities, the ones that are really setting the pace, are the ones that are reaching more students and more effectively, rather than fewer students and more personally. So.
Okay. And there is an argument that says, like, some people can actually learn in an online context, but it's difficult and you need to kind of be a self-learner. So. Only a minority of people will be able to do. Do you think it's going to be more mainstream? And I read about people like some class where the online teaching is online and they come to class only to discuss with even this kind of method. Do you think it's going to become dominant as the online way to absorb lectures and stuff like that?
I think it already is becoming that way. I mean, you have to keep in mind, I mean, it's absolutely true that the people who benefit from online learning are the people who are able to learn for themselves. No question about that. And in adults especially, there's a significant number of people who aren't able to learn for themselves. But one of the things that the internet brought was the ability of people to learn by themselves. Before, at best, if they wanted to learn by themselves, they would go to the library or they might take correspondence courses. But, you know, both of these methods were slow, they were solitary, they were very difficult to master from the perspective of being able to do it for yourself. You know, some people did. With the internet, you're not alone anymore. You're learning with, you know, a community of thousands, probably, in any particular discipline. There are all kinds of resources that are instantly available. And as well, the internet gives you the opportunity to actually do things, create things, write things, organize. There's all kinds of things you can do on the internet. Whereas before, when you were learning on your own, it was really difficult to actually do the things you were trying to do. And we see, you know, you look at YouTube is full of people doing things. Whether it's sports, whether it's making engines, whether it's cooking, whether it's politics, whatever, YouTube is full of people doing things. So I think that as the years pass, the younger people are more and more able to learn for themselves. First of all, because they have more of an opportunity, and secondly, because our education systems are gradually realizing that this is a core skill, that before anything else, they have to learn for themselves.
And one of the things I'm curious about. about this. What the university that exists already, the other one university or the investment, what do you think they can do? What would be the right thing to do for them to adapt and not become irrelevant in the future? What's the good way that, and they already have all the capital investment, so how can they make sure that they stay relevant?
Yeah, they might be overcapitalized, in fact, but that's a different story. They can't lose their focus on research because I think that drives a lot of the funding that they need to survive, and that certainly is where a significant amount of their expertise is. The funding environment for research is pretty fluid. It comes from both government and from industry sources, and it's less stable than it used to be. So they need to adapt their research to a certain degree. I don't want to say, adapt it to commercial needs or adapt it to the needs of the marketplace, because that's a bit too crass. I think government has a role to play in funding, first of all, basic research, and secondly, research that is not commercially viable but is necessary for the good of society. And there's all kinds of things like that. How long should the left turn lane be, right? Commercial research probably isn't going to look at that, but we need to know that when we're building highways. I think that they need to learn how to become open. I think this is going to be crucial. The minute that they lose the monopoly on the granting of degrees or certificates or recognition of learning, now they're in a position where they need to justify their existence over and above as researchers. And I think the only way to do that is for them to be providing the raw materials for learning to all of society and not just to those who are paying tuition. So it's going to be a shift in funding model, right? And it's the provision of these learning materials, and I construe materials very widely, right? I mean not just courses or textbooks, but also events and specialized online sites and massive open online courses, these kinds of things. They will be supported, like research, through a combination of foundations, government, and industry. And they'll need to manage how they do that in pretty much the same way they manage how they do their research funding. And very often it'll actually be tied to their research funding. So a research grant will be not simply, go out and find how fast a quark moves, but rather go out, find how fast a quark moves, engage a community in the discussion of quarks, and make your results available in a massive open online course with permanent open educational resources. So to
be more open, that means that all universities must try to be online university as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You can have in-person events. I think those are, it's like music, right? You can have concerts. Concerts are good. But if all you have are concerts, you don't have an industry. And universities have to be the same way, right? Yeah, you can have live events. Live events are good. You can have conferences. You can have lectures. You can have special classes, things like that. But really, the bulk of what you're doing is going to be digital, and it's going to be distributed.
What about personalization? I talked to some people and told me the MOOC is interesting, but it's kind of a first step, digital all you to distribute something different to all these people, and I didn't see it yet. I mean, I'm a big fan of MOOCs, I follow a lot of them, and they are all more or less basic, only interesting twist is when the fellow students are doing your correction, so you can kind of get human feedback. But apart from this, do you think it's going to come in some form?
Yep, definitely. I haven't talked about it so far because the focus has been on universities, and these are the providers, right? But the whole question of how an individual accesses learning and how they keep track of their learning records, all of these become open questions as the model of universities changes. So, you know, the universities obviously are dragging their feet on this for good reason. You know, they want to keep doing what they know how to do, even though it doesn't provide access to the majority of the population. So, you know, as universities move to the model that I've just described, we also need at the same time tools and mechanisms for individuals to take best advantage of that model. And this is a model with many providers, many standalone resources, standalone events, things like that. A program properly so-called is going to become less likely than, you know, creating a personal portfolio of skills and experiences based on working with a variety of providers over a period of time. And you need a mechanism to access this, you need a mechanism to keep track of this, and to, you know, and to actually make this information available on a validated basis to potential clients or potential employers. So that's what we're working on now. We have the Learning and Performance Support Systems program here. That's precisely the technology that we're working on. The other reason why it's slow to come out, it's really hard to do. You know, because you have a variety of competing interests and you have a very fluid technology landscape. The competing interests, for example, think of all the data that is generated when a person accesses learning from a variety of different organizations or institutions, or even when they access social networks like Facebook or Twitter or Google Groups. Lots of data, lots of stuff you can learn from that. But if you took all of that data and gave it to Google or to Facebook, really you have this gross invasion of privacy happening here. They already probably get too much information about individuals, and if we give them all the information, that'd be way too much. So how do you manage all of this so that a person's personal information is secure, but in such a way that it can still be shared with educational institutions, with learning service providers, and with prospective employers? You have to build a mechanism for this, and that's a bit of a challenge to do.
Okay. And last question, we talked already about this, about the number of universities, but it seems that there's still an advantage. Like, if you have, instead of having like 100 students, you have like a million, you kind of have more resources to hire the best lecturer and to do the best, for example, introduction to physics or any courses. So it seems that there's an advantage to scale. So do you think we'll see like more global, international university, a little bit like the New York Times, kind of a giant media, international media property, while it was much more local to New York? I mean, it's still a national paper, but do you think we'll see this phenomenon of like super universities? Or?
I think we'll see it, but I don't think it'll be the long-term future of learning. You know, we're still, I mean, we're not fully into the network and information age yet. We're still in the era of mass, you know, of mass companies, of mass broadcasters, of mass governments. You know, that's still a fact. And as long as we're in that age, the social dynamics and the economics tend toward favoring a few very large incumbent. It's a result of the scale-free network effect. And so like we see Google, like we see Facebook, like we see YouTube, we'll probably see a few very large university-like enterprises. And there are a few candidates. The Open University, which I mentioned, is one which is working very hard to become this. The traditional elite universities like Harvard and MIT and Stanford are working very hard to become this. But also Pearson Publishing, for example, would like to become this. And I think that we will probably see an entry or two from the area of consumer technology mass market entertainment. It's hard to say from where. I've talked in the past, Disney would want to do this, for example, certainly for primary level education. There's a few.
And last question, and I'm publishing an article in French and in the past, so I'm wondering, do you think that there's a place for like a French language powerhouse, that the economics would say that it would come from France, or do you think it's, as people are speaking better and better in English all over the world, it's going to be, these powerhouses are going to be in English, and they're not going to be like the big French-speaking or the big Spanish-speaking
university? I think they'll be multilingual, frankly, because we're not very far away from really, really good translation technology. Mm. It's across some languages, it's almost good enough now. French English, for example, it's not bad. Arabic English, you're stretching it a bit. Because people who speak Arabic speak in different ways and forms than people who speak English do. They speak much more metaphorically, for example, which is really hard to translate. I think we will see people offering learning in their own language, and people taking learning in their own language with automated translation in between.
Okay. Perfect. So thank you so much for your time. It's highly appreciated. And I'm going to send you the article once it's done. It should be published in January.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. Bye.
Bye-bye.